all of a sudden we move back to letter grades.
Can you hear us okay, Conor?
Yeah, I hear you all fine. Y'all hear me good?
Yeah, we do. Right. Just you may have to yell at us if we're talking over you. So.
Nah, I'll do it. Be quiet and listen.
All right, so.
Like a good little girl.
And now I'm not going to. I don't follow instructions well.
Good. You see how I set you up like that? That was the beginning of the podcast.
All right. Call is recording. All right. So here we are. Second podcast in a week. You guys wanted one for what? A month and a half? And now we have two in a week. So.
Well, yeah.
I didn't listen to the first one.
Oh, didn't?
No, but.
Oh, I did.
Conroy did. Conroy's like, I'm the number one team in the league. I need to listen to every podcast.
Yeah,
no.
He's going to listen to himself get slurped.
Oh, yeah, right. Trey called me out for defying odds that Chad made.
That's bullshit.
But you do understand how that's a little silly, right?
Defying no odds is what you should say.
I'm not questioning your team's greatness. I'm just saying, like, the odds were that you were playing the developmental league most of the year and you had, like, two opponents that were worth a damn in the playoffs. Not including the Pistons.
Wait, did you actually compliment Jeff?
No.
It was probably backhanded if it was.
I did that in the last podcast. I think I heard a tear come out of his call. He was so excited about it. All right, well, we have trade deadline today.
Did you say a tear come out of his call?
Yeah, I think I heard a tear in his call.
I don't think that's what you said.
Caw-caw!
Whatever.
Whatever.
All right, so we have two things to talk about. We have trade deadline, and we have all-star selections. And I'd kind of like to start with all-star selections. So
let's do it.
Let's go. You guys want to start with the West? You guys want to start with the East? Since three East teams here.
Let's start with the East.
Start with the East. All right, so we'll go.
Let me guess, the Central.
We'll go position by position. And, Conroy, I'll let you speak to your article since you kind of already did this, and we'll... will play devil's advocate.
Has your opinion been swayed?
It's kind of pointless to have you on, is what he's saying.
No, has your opinion been swayed? And we'll go position by position. You can tell us if you've seen anything different. All right, we'll start with center.
That's an easy. David Robinson.
You think Robinson over Zoe? You think it's that easy?
Not a question. Robinson, if he's healthy, is the MVP. Got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's been hurt the last 2 years, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's finally had a season where, knock on wood, he's been healthy. Well, but, I mean, this is about the time when his legs start to fall apart, broken legs, which I think is what his injury is every year.
Yeah. That's what you did to him 2 years ago. So
Antonio Davis got a broken leg, so now it's all just desserts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think David Robinson, for sure, right now he's on pace to be, like, the MVP.
So he's the better defender and offensive player than Zoe, or is Zoe the better defender?
I don't know. That's tough. Defense is hard to gauge in this game.
Yeah.
You really only have blocks to go off of.
Yeah, I think the rates you can look at, but that doesn't really even...
Rates are very specific to your team.
And I don't really understand them, to be honest with you.
So
it's
basically how many points they give up, I think, per 100 possessions.
When he's on the floor.
When they're on the floor. So, like... you know, if you see somebody with high offensive efficiency, it's good, and low defensive efficiency is good as well. So you're looking for, you know, the biggest.
I think that's only stuff. That's kind of what I look at, too, when I'm looking at the defensive side.
But the thing is, you can't really – I mean, you can look at it for other teams, but you really need to put in context. Because say, for instance, somebody on Chad's team who has the best defensive – who's the best defensive team in the league, hands down – they might have a defensive efficiency of 89, whereas you might have a guy who's got, let's just throw out 99 perimeter defense and 99 steal and 99 block, but he might have 101 defensive efficiency. Just because the other guy has a lower defensive efficiency does not mean he's a better defender than your guy. It just means
just that
when he's on the floor with that team, he's holding... players to, or a team to 89 points per possession.
Right.
And if you have a bunch of, you know, four other shitty defenders next to your good defender,
it's going to be obviously higher.
Yeah, it's going to raise it. So, you know, just.
And you could also look at it with the rest of you, in combination with the rest of your team, too. Like, you can say, you could tell, like, you look at your team's defensive efficiency rating as a whole, and then you can kind of gauge and look and see where your players waver above or below that that like, that team average. And that's kind of another good gauge of, like, your better defenders on your team.
Yeah. So, I think I agree. I think David Robinson, is, just because of the, he's going to be the MVP, likely, unless Kemp has a stellar close out of the year, it's going to be Robinson. So, I think Zoe is the shoo-in for that backup center. Do we have a chance at a third center? I know you're
Hakeem might take Zoe's spot.
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen.
Who?
Hakeem might take Zoe's spot, he said.
What's Hakeem doing this year?
21-11.
What is Zoe doing?
20-10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but those are comparable.
Hakeem plays 6 more minutes a game than Zoe.
Those are comparable stats.
What about blocks?
You look at their PER. Zoe's like
about a full block.
Their PER is 30-21, though. Like, Zoe has a much more efficient game.
Oh, much more. Yeah, I think he's averaged like 6 less shots a game.
Did you say per?
Per, I'm sorry. Yeah. Is that how it's...
Per 36?
No, not per 36.
That's why
I say PER.
People like you.
Hey, back to the efficiency thing really quick.
Yeah.
Robinson and Zoe compare pretty favorably because we give up almost the exact same amount of points.
And that's what I was... That's kind of why I was saying, you know, I could see a scenario where Zoe maybe has a really good last sim and gets
yeah,
a couple
a
more
chance,
votes. It's going to be close.
There is a chance.
But I put Hakeem in. I put Zoe in as the reserve and Hakeem in as a wild card, which I didn't even know there was wild cards until I think Scott pointed it out. So it worked out perfectly to both put them in. But there was 4 centers in the East last year.
I think last year, I think Sabalos made as a wild card. I didn't realize that either.
How many positions? 12?
12, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, so you don't, you definitely don't see a fourth center, right?
No.
Okay. Okay. The next one's really interesting because, you know, Malone is obviously head and shoulders above all other forwards at this point. Are we okay?
Coffee grounds at the bottom. Like, I had a
coffee
grind.
We had a coffee issue over there.
Scott was choking or throwing up some margaritas from last night.
Did I show you the international sign for choking?
No. Ben knows it pretty well.
So yeah, Malone is probably the starter here. Does time in the conference have anything to do with this at all?
Like no, just, that's why I was relieved Manning was traded in the West. It would have thrown the entire predictions off. Danny Manning, I think.
What can I use that?
I'm not going to get John. I can get John's website.
Yeah, right. I think if Barkley would have been healthy, I think
the index.
Right? I think Barkley would have been a shoe-in for a power forward.
Oh yeah, he might have.
I think he was probably one of the best power forwards in the league.
He was off to an awesome start.
Yeah,
too.
He was like what,
fuck
he was
you sound.
30-10 or something like that. I think is what he was doing for a couple stretches. Barkley.
Oh
yeah, he was
yeah, but
nuts.
he's just not going to have enough games.
Well, no, yeah, that's the thing.
He's hurt.
He's still hurt through Monday. So
who is the second and third best power forward? Because I don't necessarily agree with your selection for reserve, but I don't know that I have a better argument.
Yeah. Well, Scott knows I rushed this a little bit, but I tried to go through every team and look at their power forward, and there was nobody. I mean, Derek Coleman and Larry Johnson were probably the next two.
Yeah. Well, Coleman's not better than Johnson?
He doesn't get the same minutes, I don't think.
Oh.
He's trying to think. I mean,
you have Gilliam. Gilliam's not a...
He's a backup.
But he's a starter, but he only plays like...
He's a starter?
Yeah, he starts.
Yeah, but he's like one of those fake starters, right?
I'm not saying that as a joke. Yeah, he's like you start somebody for like 15 minutes, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Cadillac.
Yeah, so out of the 48 minutes, Gilliam gets like 20 and Coleman gets 28 is the plan.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a starter only in name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what about... Is Gugliotta off the...
He's a center.
Oh, shit. Gugliotta's not even going to make it.
No. And he's been hurt.
He's hurt. He may not be considered just because of that, but...
Yeah.
I think he missed like 30 days.
Oh, that yeah, that's too bad.
That's rough for him, but I mean, that's,
yeah, I guess you're right. I don't see any others. None of these other teams. I mean, obviously Wilkins, but.
Well, was there two power forwards? I mean, is that how it works, though?
There's is it two power forwards?
I think it just goes two forwards. I don't think it goes...
So we could add an extra.
Distinguishes between power forward and small forward.
So you mean there's four forwards? I don't think Kemp or Malone ever have started together.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe I'm thinking of the All-NBA team.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because we saw that one year. Scott Kemp and Johnson Malone, went down to the third string. Yeah, I mean, so, I guess Larry's the best option there, and I don't...
Yeah, Gugliotta was there last year, but he was a power forward last year. So, I mean, I don't think they'll put him in as a center. He's showing a center in the index this year.
Yeah.
So, Scott, I don't know who else it'd be other than...
He would have been a reserve if he was a forward.
Who?
He might have been...
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Gugliotta. Oh, yeah.
So he moved him, and it was kind of what happened to me. Before the break last year, I had Miller at the three and Smith at the two, and neither one of them played those positions very well. And
if I were Nick, I would probably. I mean, he's got an okay thing going right now, but I would have tried to keep Googs at the four
just because of the talent disparity.
Position. I mean, look at in the playoffs, like he'll have the advantage against everybody.
Yeah.
At the four. Well, and if he could have gotten a guy like Perdue at the five. It would have been fine.
I really thought him trading Robert Parrish in the offseason, but not that Parrish is like a deal breaker or anything like that, but Parrish could start next to Gugliotta. And that's the thing is he didn't have any depth when he made that trade.
Right.
And he really made himself even more shallow at the four and the five.
Those guys are good at a couple of things, and Parrish happens to be good at everything you need your center to be good at.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's it. Like, he may not be a guy who can run all game. Like, he may only be able to give you 25 to 30 minutes.
And that's tops.
You don't need, yeah, 20,
but you
25
can put
minutes.
You can play Googly out at
40. Yeah. And then play, like, Bo Outlaw or so whoever else is his backup at power forward. But, I mean, I wasn't really sure why Chad was in such a rush to get rid of Parrish. I mean, unless it was a financial thing.
It was financial.
Okay.
Yeah, he was trying.
I mean, I think that the T-Wolves got a steal there. I mean, that's going to be great, putting the heaven
I was
whoever.
Trying to get him.
Yeah.
I couldn't get the money to work. Yeah.
How much is he over?
Me? Who? Or
a million?
He's 900 something. Oh, you're talking about...
Click cap report.
So he saved what, like five or six, or probably like 10 points by trading him.
Yeah, he's still a million and a million over.
Well, we haven't seen the new rules yet.
Yeah, I was supposed to get that last night, but I was drunk.
Okay, you have it already typed up.
The Rockets are like 3 mil over.
Actually,
the cap,
I have
though.
It.
Holy
I do.
Shit.
All I have to do is the bad thing is all I have to do is just type in the new cap figure. I have all the formulas already built out.
Well, it would be nice. It would be nice to get it up before the. Before the trade deadline.
Yep, it's not going to happen. I'm going to play golf right after this.
So. Alright, so we can implement this next year?
Nope.
Okay. Alright, well, yeah, I mean...
First of all, I'll give everybody a quick rundown of what's going to happen. I mean, the numbers are the numbers. The difference between last year and this year is not going to be that much. You can figure it out by looking at last year's spreadsheet. Now, what the big difference is that there's going to be a starter point total that you have to give up if you're in the tax at all. So it's going to be like 5 points or something to start, and then you add the additional points on there. And then there's going to be a repeater tax. So if you're in the tax for 2 years, you're going to have to pay 1.5 times the total.
Is this retroactive, or is this going to start this year?
This is going to start this year.
Ooh, okay.
The next year, you're going to have to pay, like, if you're 3 years in, you're going to have to pay 2 times total. The year after, you're going to have to pay 2.5 times total.
Damn, man.
Okay, so hear me out, though. All you have to do is go under the tax once to be reset.
Yeah.
It is extreme, but it stops people from...
Yeah, but there's...
Trey, you're going to be in it for the next...
Oh, I am. I'm going to be in it for the next 10 years. This is my point. Like, there's no way that I can get under unless I blow up my team, which we don't want people to do either.
Well, yeah, maybe
you know,
the same
you
boat
could,
with
I
you,
think
though,
that you were you, well, like, without getting too far off of everything, I think there's ways you could do it, like you were talking about Miller earlier. Like,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
but I have to give up Miller.
Yeah,
see,
but you could probably get good value for Miller. Miller is a guy and a guy that even if he gets nailed in TC athletically, he's still going to be drilling threes and shooting jump shots efficiently.
Well, if we're going to talk about the Pistons in particular, and you're not even
the they're the defender, next position up.
If we're going to talk about the Pistons in particular, the real problem is Benjamin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the guy that's not playing to his contract. So that's a real killer. And hopefully, you know, what it's supposed to do at the end of the day, again, it's going to start this year. This will be your first year. And what it's supposed to really do is help control the economics of the league. Because as we saw last year, there were a lot of max contracts given out to guys that didn't necessarily deserve it. And you're going to have to think about it twice before giving out a max to a guy that, say, averages 8 points a game or 4 rebounds at the center. Like, you really have to think about it. Just because you have a bunch of rookie contracts won't mean that you can give out a max. You're going to have to, and people are going to have to think about it, and they're going to, I think there's going to be a lot of teams that handcuff themselves this offseason because they're not forward thinking. But I think you'll be fine. I mean, Miller's contract's what, 3 more years?
Yeah, you'll be fine.
But people won't be able to train their players as well, and that's kind of a good thing.
But yeah, that's kind of what I accepted at that point.
Yeah.
This was the last one I was able to do. I'm sorry, getting back to
yeah, because this is the best argument too.
Yeah, the next position.
Yeah.
So the three.
I digress.
We're going to starting and reserve, and if you have a third guy, tell me too.
So I put in when I did this originally, I just put in who I thought was the automatic starter, and I put Augment in there without even really looking at him much. And then, but he doesn't score efficiently at all, really.
Yeah. Does Pauly not use an inside focus game now?
I don't know.
He must be using balance because he has Del Curry and he has Stacey Augment, and I think that's a good inside out, like.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at his game plan or anything like that, but that is his guy. I mean, I would game plan on Augment all day. Like, he would be my primary, and everything else come with it.
I think that we'll see how much the game weighs defense, because Augment is.
Yeah.
I agree.
But he hasn't even attempted a single three. Like, how is that possible?
Augment hasn't.
I mean, he's terrible. He has a 5 rating, but
that's awesome.
0 threes.
Yeah.
Doesn't
Georgie Murison has attempted at least one?
Well, like, I think there are some guys like Kemp and all who attempt 3 a game.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Andrew Bynum's of the league.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when I say not efficiently at all, he does score efficiently, but compared to Smith, it's not even close.
And here's the thing. Smith's at a different level this year. Like, he's stepped up his game.
Stacey Augment for president.
Well, Augment started last year largely because, you know, Miller played the three and wasn't very good at it. And I don't think Smith would have taken his spot either. I just think now Smith is kind of, I've made this argument a couple times. Augment started at two last year. Huh?
Augment was a 2 last year, I thought.
Yeah, Augment was a shooting guard.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
With a 5 3-point rating.
That's awesome. You look at Per. I'm going to say it right. You look at Per, and it's like 28 to 25. And, you know, Smith's averaging, what, the top 5 points in the league right now? I mean, the guy has a legitimate argument to be in the late MVP ballot discussion. Not that it matters. There's like 2 or 3 guys who are elite, and then
Augment actually scores more. It looks like
I mean, I personally don't put Smith in the MVP race, but he's definitely got a chance to be like second team all league.
Yeah, well, Augment scored more points, but
the percentages. Just look at that.
Well, percentages, and Smith plays next to Reggie Miller, who's in the top 5 in the league in scoring.
Right.
So for him to still even make an argument at the scoring, I would love to see Smith start because I think I would love to see Miller get in there too. I don't know if that's happened yet or if anybody has the situation where 2 players from the same team start.
I'm trying to think if LJ and KJ start. I think Stockton started that year. the year that LJ, and I don't think LJ ever started because of OP Kemp and OP Malone. That was for you, Tony.
But at this rate, it looks like we're going to get through the East before I'm going to have to go, maybe.
Well, let's keep going through then.
We can keep going.
Just for real quick.
Always got to be about you, right?
You had the third. You had a third guy listed because Matt is listed as a three.
I think
he's a three, and he can do it. And I was just thinking, like, if I was actually putting a team together, like an all-star team, and I wanted to win, I would put Magic in. I mean, I think he was 18-6-6 last time I looked at it. You can't. That's just,
that's nice. What about Chris Mullin?
Honestly, haven't checked. Is
on the Hornets, he's doing. Let me pull it up real fast. He's doing 22.7, 6.2 rebounds and 3 assists.
Yeah, he could definitely be there.
No, he's got Ron Harper, he's got Mookie, he's got Gugliotta. So, I mean, he's got a lot of options. Granted, Gugliotta's been out for 10 games. But
I forgot that he had Mullin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Chris Mullin on his team, he's blowing it up. I mean, Ron Harper isn't a guy that doesn't, he's not shy, he's a gun jack.
Yeah, so, I'll be honest, the wild card spots were tough. Two guys that I knew had a chance of making it.
Let's jump in the shooting guard then.
Yeah, let's go to two.
Yeah, I believe that was Miller starting. I don't think that's even a question. There's a tier of shooting guards in the East. Miller's tier one by himself, and then there's about four guys who could be in that second tier.
Richmond.
Mitch, Eddie Jones.
Rich Mitchman.
Rich.
Yeah.
I was going to say, also, Ron Harper could fit in there. He's averaging about 19 a game.
Isaiah Ryder.
Isaiah
Ryder, I saw, was pretty damn efficient, like 22, 23 per.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a sleeper pick for that spot. I think he can make the All-Star game.
Yeah, he could.
Point guard.
This one's a good argument.
They got
I would say it's Gary Payton, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, who else is even?
Gary Payton. But then you got guys like Tim Hardaway's all right.
Oh, Hardaway would be up there, yeah. But he's not. I mean, Gary Payton's nobody else.
My boy Terrell Brandon, just because he doesn't have anybody else to score on a team.
Shooting 37% for the season.
38.
My bird. It's not just assists, though. I mean,
I'm looking at steals. I mean, he's better. It's a hard argument. Assists and steals.
Gary Payton is this is coming from the guy who had the best point guard in the league last year. I would say Gary Payton's probably the guy. I would say it's Payton, KJ, and then
Kid might be in there.
Well, I would say Penny and then Kid.
Kid's way down.
Penny's not in. Penny's not on. Are we talking All Star? Are we talking about?
I'm saying overall.
Oh, okay. My bad.
But that's what I'm saying. I think Gary Payton would start on either side.
Yeah, 100 perimeter defense, 100 steal, 100 quickness.
Yeah, he's.
He's on
the Yeah, he's tough.
He's earning his contract.
Well, it looked like for a while that he wasn't going to mature into the guy he is
finally
now.
Finally took his step.
He finally grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
Shows your patience.
So I'll put Tim in for the reserve guy himself, but I think he'll be there.
Who?
Hardaway.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah. You got your wild cards picked. We talked about that. You don't think anybody in the other three positions take those wild card spots?
They could, but I just... Like,
I don't know if Magic's going to make it. I mean...
I could see maybe another one of the twos.
There's a lot of shooting guards.
I could see Isaiah Ryder maybe being that 12th guy.
Yeah.
If he's not the backup two. But, all right, we'll jump over to the Western Conference.
All right, I'll try to get my starters in, and I'm going to have to go.
That's fine.
What, you have work or something?
Yeah.
Weird.
Is that why we were late for this or something? Someone had a work call?
I don't know. We were all – we just didn't start it up. We were trying to get in touch with you, and I don't think that we coordinated.
And then we got sidetracked by comic book talk, and then
–
I've actually got to leave in, like, 15 minutes.
Okay, well, let's get through this real quick. All right, Shaq center.
Camp, it's not even close, I don't think. Do you all – have anyone else even considered?
No, I would say the conversation has to go to backup center, really. I mean, O'Neal's going to be number one. Kemp is the four. So where are your backups at center and the four?
So the center I went with old Brad Daughtry.
It's Daughtry.
Daughtry.
daughterly.
Is there a
dot?
Is there another argument there? Is there?
I don't think so.
You have Danny Manning, but is he even in the West anymore?
He's a power forward, and I put him in as a wild card, and I would have put him in at the starting small forward, and I stand behind that. Wait, over Sabalos.
Oh, I don't care, Conroy. You suck at trolling. So go move on. Damn hick.
You have Kemp, and then you have Weber.
Yeah. And Weber and Manning were a toss-up.
Oh, shit.
What?
I think the call just ended. So, that's what happens when you talk shit about Sabalos, bro. You're dead.
For some reason.
I'll message him.
It just ended.
Just call him back. Press call.
Yeah, hold on.
I think it's still recording.
Yeah.
Huh?
I think it might be still recording, though.
It's not still recording.
Oh, it's not?
Okay. Where our conversation is recording on...
Sorry about that.
Hey,
see what happens when you talk shit about Sabalos?
truth.
All right, I got a recording again. So, so you said Weber and Manning were your toss ups?
Yeah, and it was close. There was something I forget. Other than just my love for Chris Weber, there was something else that made me pick him over Manning. It must have been rebounds.
Wait, didn't Manning get, where did Manning go? Oh, to the Blazers, that's right.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if he would have went east, he'd have probably, you know, he would have definitely taken the power forward spot.
Guy plays three games in the east, he gets the starting spot.
That'd be awesome.
All right, you got Cedric Sabalos as a starter at the three.
Yeah.
Shit.
Just the rebounding. I mean, you can't, that's... He turns the ball over a lot, but then I thought that might be due to KJ being hurt. Yeah. He probably handles the ball a lot more than
he has the ball in his hands a little bit too much right now because of KJ's injury.
His balls in his hands?
Yeah, balls. My balls.
They go hard?
Yeah, pretty much. Always dug taking it too far.
Do you like CDs and tapes? He's going to see these nuts when I tape them to your forehead.
There you go. So anyway, Sabalos, yeah, he's had to take on too much of the scoring load while KJ is out.
Yeah. Shooting guard was interesting. Sprewell was a lot closer to Jordan than I would have thought.
Yeah.
Just without looking at anything. And you could probably make an argument for Sprewell.
Maybe the game makes the argument of the Clippers are better than the Jazz.
Well, for now.
They are. Yeah.
The Jazz,
you know,
is the second worst team.
You know how the Clippers always start off strong, and then.
Well, I believe in what they're doing because I think they have a talented group of guys, especially the starters. But I believe in what I just said because the Jazz are so goddamn terrible.
Oh yeah, they're better.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, Jordan's the best player on a bad team. Who thought we would ever say that? Like, Jordan, you can maybe say that Jordan is as good as he is because he's the best player on a bad team.
I think he'd be better if he had, obviously, I mean, it's easy to say that he'd be better if he had better players around him, but I think his numbers would also go up if he had, I mean, Sherman Douglas is, that's what you need for a Jordan. You need a guy that can get on the ball, and Douglas isn't bad, but it's just, they don't have anyone down low, to open it up for him, and you got guys that'll lock him down pretty much, and that's what's happening.
Well, it's, I mean, you can focus your whole game on Jordan, and I don't think Price runs an inside focus. I mean, that's Jordan's like a 98 or 97 inside.
Yeah.
And it's been, what, four seasons and still running balance. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that's this year. I haven't really paid attention because their team's pretty, they're pretty rough.
He takes three inside shots a game versus 13 jump shots a game.
Yeah, that's horrible. Why would you? I can't think of a worse way to use him at that point.
Yeah.
But,
all right, well, I got to go.
All right, before you leave, did you say your wild cards already for the West?
Yeah, Danny Manning, which, you know, he could arguably be the reserve power forward. And then I had a position mix-up with Dennis Scott and Glenn Rice, so I just switched them. I think both of those guys get in. They're scoring too much. That team's playing too good.
All right, cool, man. All right, we'll let you go so you can get back to work, and we'll wrap things up over here. We're going to talk a little bit about trade deadline for a few minutes, and then call it a day. Yep.
This is an awesome article, man. We need to do this each week, each year.
Good stuff, guys.
Hopefully you get rewarded and Zoe gets hurt for about 50 games.
Well,
I could probably still take you on.
I would probably still take you on in my starting five.
Oh, I doubt that. It seems shit without him.
All right. Later, bud. Talk to you later.
Oh.
I like him. He's cool.
Yeah.
He's
a good guy. Is it recording?
Yeah, yeah. We're recording on the... This is going to be fun for me because...
It's going to be like a cross platform.
I have to bring the call file into the podcast because that's been running the whole time, but I have to match it up or I have to kill one and bring it. We'll figure it out. Trying to make a little mental note of where we're at. But, all right, trade deadline. There's been a couple of big moves. Kings have been very active.
Kings have been very, very active.
Which is crazy because
Nola says, hi, Mom.
Okay.
But yeah,
did we create a thread for people to post in?
We didn't, but I think we were kind of...
I'd say hi to Noel's mom this morning, too.
We probably need to stay a little bit focused, maybe 15 more minutes.
We already got sidetracked enough.
Yeah. So about that Thanos series.
No, don't even start. Anyway, so... Yeah, I mean, Noel's been super active in trading this whole season. Not just in trade deadline, but just kind of getting pieces around his team. Most recently acquiring Dikembe from the Suns.
I mean, if you make an argument that Malone was tailing off really quickly and really hard, then getting Campbell and Dikembe even is a great trade-off for him. I mean...
Well, that's if he can keep Mutombo. And that's a little bit of a... It's a little bit of a risk.
Mutombo's going to be hard because someone's going to overpay him. And if someone overpays him, you almost, like, wish him well at that point.
That's what happened to me with Caldwell. I mean, I wasn't going to pay him back.
Yeah.
It was like, okay. Well,
Dikembe still has the chance.
Tip the hat.
Dikembe still has a chance to get better.
Well, so did Caldwell. Caldwell's green-blue now. He was green-green when I left.
Oh, well, that's
Is he green-blue?
Yeah, he turned green.
Dikembe's still green-green, though, right?
He's green-green. Yeah, so, I mean, look, these guys are young enough to grow a little bit, but... They're never going to be stars. They're never going to be real max players.
What annoys me about both those guys is that I reached out about both of them at the beginning of the year, and they both end up as Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was just looking for something.
Well, you know what? The big thing is you have to have assets. And
I really...
Well, you don't have ones that you want to give up. Like, you could have gotten Campbell, but it would have cost you Miller or Smith.
It would cost me Miller or Smith. Wasn't going anywhere.
I'm saying hypothetically, it would have cost you one or the other. Like, you've got the assets, but are you willing to give them up?
Yep.
And that's pretty much every trade. Like, when I read people's trade blocks and they say, this person is not on the trade block, everybody's available for a price. Like,
right.
If you got everything you need, like, you can get almost any. I would say Kemp and Shaq, like, those are the guys that should never leave their teams until they're in their 30s or something. They have a ridiculous contract. But, like, other than that, I would say Penny would be really hard to acquire. Weber would be really hard to acquire.
Byron Russell's pretty hard to acquire, apparently. Hey,
that's,
Chad.
That's because you offer, like, a poo-poo platter to everybody and hope somebody's hungry.
No. Oh,
you
know. Yeah.
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 Pretty much.
What else?
It could be worse. It could be a couple picks and yellow.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
10 points.
So we talked about this a little bit. The Nuggets and Danny Manning going...
Oh.
Danny Manning was sent where? The Blazers?
The Blazers.
So, okay, where are the Blazers at right now?
They're
five games back out of the eighth spot, I think.
Yeah.
Six, seven
but
spot.
We were talking about this last night. I think the Blazers are ready to climb, man. They made the playoffs last year, but they could be a team that catches somebody.
It's.
I wish he had held on to Wesley.
Yeah, I think that's something that's gonna maybe bite him in the butt because I think Wesley could have been a starting two guard for him.
Yep.
At some point, maybe not this year, but next year.
Yep. Who did he get for Wesley again?
He got Damon with Wayman Tisdale, which isn't bad. I think,
but
that's
still got a glaring hole at the two.
Yeah. But that's something that he could probably. I think he does have a little bit of cap space in the offseason. He may be able to fill it with something.
Miller.
Yeah. I mean, shit. But I think that was a win-win trade for both parties. I think it was good for the Nuggets to sell high on Danny Manning when he's having a career year.
They just don't have anything now, and they don't have their pick.
Well, they don't have it this year, and then Scott was saying this. It's like, at this point, he doesn't have his pick, but that's not his fault. He's got to just do his thing and just stay strong to the course. Don't worry about what the Lakers do.
Yeah, yeah.
Just build
he
your
was
team.
I think he was way too worried about that at the beginning of the year.
That's what he did, and that was. I mean, obviously, I am a little bit biased because I own the pick.
Yeah.
But that was the problem I had. It's like you need to slow build because you don't have the assets to build a contender this year.
Right.
Don't screw up what you have. Keep all your assets. And he already traded his pick next year, but I think it's protected.
It's like top three protected, I think.
Yeah, but stop trading. I mean, this is the whole, you know, and no offense to Nick Malone, but this is the whole thing that Nick had to learn when he came into the league. Stop trading your picks until you are a perennial playoff team and you learn the game.
What's your internet?
Belkin. And it's a password to me. Oh, your computer. But yeah, like that's one of the things, and I know a lot of people have reached out to me about my picks, like 96 and 97, and I even say, like, look, I thought it was going to be better this year than what I am. Like, last year obviously was I'm doing the finger quotes, rebuild,
yeah.
You know, tank year, whatever, tank. Call it what it is,
yeah.
But cool. This year I thought a couple of my guys would have progressed more than they did, and I did not think I'd be as bad as I was. I thought I may have taken, you know, a couple steps forward, but right now I'm in the same position, maybe worse than last year, and I wasn't even trying to be worse this year.
Well, I'll say this, too. I mean, one good thing about your build is you got a guy in Rose who's going to take a while to grow, so you'll be able to put another pick around him. Whereas, like, when you look at Raby, who actually, this isn't true, but... when you look at other teams, like Shaq is probably a better example. They get these guys that are so good in year one that they're low lotto or like an 8 seed as soon as they start, and they can't get those like nice rookie contracts next to their young guy. You know, they can't because the guy is just too good. And that's definitely an alternative to building like that. And that's why I guess sometimes you should go for it all after year one. Like, if you think your guy is going to blow up the league in year one, like, surround him.
Yeah.
But if it's a guy like Rose who's going to take 3 to 4 years to grow up, yeah, like, slow it down.
Well, that's why this year I went after and got to Brandon because I think that I needed a point guard.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
That was a great deal. I mean,
yeah, Brandon's a guy that I would imagine 25 teams wanted or would have taken. You know, maybe not so much like you have Kevin Johnson, you might have him as a backup role, but he would definitely be the guy of the future almost. I mean, it's, you know, I think
people forget how young KJ is.
He's what, 28?
20, yeah, 28 now.
Yeah, yeah, you know, he's great.
All those guys are in their prime right now.
Yeah.
Ben Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else, any other moves that jumped out to you, at the trade deadline?
There's a bunch of jockeying,
a lot of small moves. One surprising move was that the let me pull it up real fast. It was the Wizards Raptors trade.
Yeah, that was
where was it?
I can't say I understand that personally, but these guys have their own plans.
Chris Childs and Lorenzo Williams for the Wizards unprotected 97. It's an interesting move. Chris Childs, I think, is a good player.
We just talked about this. Yeah.
Until you establish yourself as a year in year out competitor.
You're talking about the Wizards giving up their pick for. But
right.
what do you think about that for?
Or just even the
Raptors?
Unprotected.
That was great.
It was a good deal. I think it's a great deal for the Raptors because
Chris Childs isn't. I mean, he's all right, but
I think I've seen the Raptors have given up a lot of bench guys here at the trade deadline.
I think the Raptors are. I mean. I think they're a year away from, or a half a year away from starting to rebuild.
I think the Barkley thing.
Depending on if he can move Barkley for a good asset this summer or this off season, I think you could see a Raptors rebuild start then because the wheels are in motion, basically.
I think that if he had not won as many games as he did two sims after, for the first two sims after Barkley got hurt, he would have blown this up.
Right.
By now.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's sitting 3 games back.
Yeah.
He's in third place, but, you know, he's only half a game behind the Pacers, and they tend to struggle a bit towards the end of the
season. Well, you could ask him. I mean, he even said in our trade that, like, with the Rick Fox deal, I mean, he mentioned how I was texting him, and it was every other day. You know, I'd be like, hey, what's up? you know, and we talk about it. I just put my feelings out there. It's like, so what are you feeling? And it's the talks progress, and I get, you know, gradually was giving up more to him than, you know, like, because I really like Fox. I think it would be a good fit for my team, assuming I can get a score in this draft coming up. But for him, I mean,
well,
I just hold it as, I was like, he's kind of, I think he's leaning towards rebuilding, like you were saying. Like, if he can move Barkley, these could be good pieces that he has to really give him a chance to do, like, not a slow rebuild, but maybe a 2-year rebuild where it's like, he has, like, the complementary pieces in place, and then he can get his big guy in the draft.
I did like the trade for you. One thing I didn't like about it is looking at the draft class, you could really pick up a guy that, like, a Finley or something like that in the draft, and that would really hurt that move. I mean, you can always put him on the, you could always put him on Fox on the bench and have him as a super sub with that deal that he's probably going to get. But, like, I mean, I think I don't know what's going on, obviously, what you're planning on doing. But you can always get a big. Like, there's a lot of good bigs coming out. But you could have had, like, a Finley or a Stackhouse, too. And that's, again, another thing you have to look at when rebuilding. It's like, you know, you make a move for a guy, even like Terrell Brandon, was a point guard, and then the draft, the next best talent that you pick might actually be a point guard. And, you know, it can it can really, like, you can start having overlapping abilities.
And I don't want to derail this into a Bucks talk. I know it's
not what I want to hear,
but, like, I mean, the whole plan that I had was Fox would be my 3. And right now, obviously, I don't have a 2. I have Izzalino kind of filling in. Pimp out Izzalino. There you go. I just had to throw that out there.
I'll take him.
Jalen Rose is, I kind of see him as, he's a starter, but he's going to be one of those guys that probably play like 30 minutes off the bench.
Right.
Like, give him like 10 minutes at each position, or eligible at each position, especially once he gets to be a better scorer.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I envisioned him.
So I told you, and we talked about this in the last one, that's the only reason why I don't want to spend too much more time on it, but when it comes down to it, I told you at the beginning of the year, when you were a little upset you didn't get the top one of the top 3 picks, you built at least a very talented bench for next year when you get a good pick, or you get another good bench player, and you can then go into free agency and
you'll
sign a few guys. I could see, like, what's to prevent you from going after, like, Dikembe?
Do you see
what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You're at a point, you're at a really good situation that your team got a lot of good pieces in the draft and in the offseason, but you didn't get good enough to hurt your draft stock for next year.
Yeah.
And so I think that you have potential at the end of this offseason to be very good and to be a force to be reckoned with.
I think your build's going to be like the Rockets of last Sim League. I mean,
it's like,
I
kind of like
slowly, but eventually become like a perennial favorite in the division.
Yeah.
After, like, I would say, let's say like 4 to 5 seasons from now.
I would say after.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When your life cycle is done, and that'll be your life cycle is coming. I wouldn't say it's coming to an end, but you're like me, like 3 seasons.
No, if I don't make a push in the next, I talked to Chad about this during some trade talks we were having, and I was like, if, you know, both of us are in the same situation that, you know, if you don't.
Yeah.
If something doesn't happen soon, you got to kind of.
Well, you got to start.
You got to shit or get off the pot, honestly.
Right.
Like, at that point, and I don't mean like tanking and producing other things, because I don't even own my picks right now.
Well, you have to trade people. Before,
you have to acquire.
Well, you have to trade people before you can't trade them, right?
Yeah.
Before they become a negative asset.
Yeah.
And you know, if you talk about a team like that, Chad's team, Patrick Ewing. I mean, there is going to be a very finite time where Patrick Ewing can be traded. And I think he knows that for a fact. And if he doesn't move Patrick Ewing in, I don't know, say the next 2 to 3 years, he's going to have to sit with that contract, or he's going to have to give up a pick to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And that's not a good spot to be in, you know. Giving up picks to rebuild
is
never a good spot.
Because then you'll have teams that are like, that are in the shitty situation where they have $12 million in cap space.
Right.
And they're like, you know what? I'll eat that for 2 years. I'm not going to be good anyway. So we'll take on that expiring if you give me a pick.
And that's, I mean, that's the thing with him. He's taking a really big gamble, and you are as well with Benjamin. But
yeah.
You know what? If you get the ring, if you get a ring, it's all worth it. Yeah. You know, you get your championship, and so what? 3 years in purgatory is 3 years in purgatory.
There.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
So I think it's not over yet, trade deadline. But
you know,
seeing some of the things that have shaken out and maybe having your ear to the ground and hearing whether or not there's some other things coming down, where do you kind of grade out the playoffs at this point? Who's making a push? Who's pulling back?
I think the Hawks are still making a push. They're kind of far out. Not horribly far out, but they got an uphill battle. To make it.
Well, they got three teams in front of them that are...
Yeah. Really, it's...
And the East isn't what it was last year either. No. I mean, you're not going to make it five games under 500, I don't think.
No.
At the East, I wouldn't say it's great right now, but it's improving.
It's competitive.
Well, like, teams like the Hornets are catching up. The Raptors are tough. The Pacers, who we thought were going to fall off, they're still tough. You know, you got the Heat who have stepped up.
The weird thing about the Pacers is I think we expected, once they dealt Ewing, we expected them to be worse than they are. And they may be having their best season yet, honestly.
Surprisingly, yeah.
I mean, all things considered, it may not be as good record-wise as what they were doing 2 years ago.
It's the most impressive season.
But it is, yes. We talked about this a little bit with GM of the Year and things like that. I mean, that might be a guy you want to consider. I don't think it's going to be nearly as passionate this year as it was in the past.
Yeah. This year I think there's a lot of teams that really have a claim that they can make, saying, like, these are the moves I made. Like, Nate Malone, I think, has a really good opportunity to say, I positioned myself this year to compete for a title. Yeah. I mean, the injury set him back. The injury set him back, but
he's not competing.
I think if the Clippers continue on the road that they're on, that they've made some big moves to help their team.
And he got Cliff Robinson to re-sign for cheap, too, if you look at his... I don't know if he re-signed yet or accepted his contract, but I was looking at it, I'm like, damn.
Yeah, it's like $3
million a year. He's got Terry Mills and Cliff at both, like, super cheap deals. It's like $5 million a year between the two of them.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how many other people would love to have that kind of...
Yeah.
Like, I like what the Clippers have done overall, but I feel like...
They got the team that you would love to build, like a three-point outside shooting team.
That's the one that I just don't have the balls to build. You know? Like, just the all-out three-point shooting team and, like...
Those are the games I lose.
Pretty much, yeah.
Those are the games I lose when I put up 23s and... Three of them go in.
Well, you can go so hot and cold, too. Like, if your three-point shot's not falling and that's your major weapon, you're in trouble. Like, you're not getting to the line because you're shooting three-point shots. And you know what? Three-point shooters typically don't have the best defense either. So, in this game, too. So,
well, you're going to be giving up a lot of rebounds, too, because you guys are out of position.
Sure. And so, I don't know. It would be a fun experiment. I might do it after this build.
Just to give it a shot. I mean, if you get the...
And I'll call you up for guys like Rick Fox and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, because they'll be big. Like, guys that could play defense and shoot for three, like we were saying.
Yeah. Well, there was one other team I thought maybe... I don't want to say missed opportunity, but they're making a really good push this year, and it's the Magic. And I'm surprised they didn't make a push for Dikembe. Because
there were some pieces out there that got traded that...
They're going to be a team that throws out a max to Dikembe.
Yeah, and they don't need to give up any of their young pieces. And that's the thing. Anybody who comes to the table with the Magic, like, hey, I want Dikembe, what do you want for him? Well, Eddie Jones or Jason Kidd.
That's exactly everything.
That's how it goes. And I think I respect the Magic for what they're doing as far as that's concerned. But if there was a piece they could have acquired with keeping those two guys...
I think Dikembe, he probably could have given up a couple things.
Both of those deals pissed me off because of just, I don't think that they gave up a lot for him. There was, you know, the Eldon Campbell, which was a discussion that was tough to have because I would have had to give up somebody really good to get Campbell. But seeing Campbell go to the Kings and then seeing Dikembe go to the Kings, both for deals that were questionable at best.
No, I mean,
they were good see, the Nets and the Suns are both in very bad situations, their franchises are. So it does help them to get something for these pieces.
And get some flexibility to it. And I think the Campbell experiment for the Nets has kind of run its course, similar to how the Tyrone Hill experiment had for him. And I mean, if you look at Tyrone Hill for the Wizards, he's not exactly blowing it up like we everyone expected him to be.
Dikembe is 28 right now.
He's 28? Oh, damn.
28 years old.
Oh, that's a tough sell for me.
That's a huge. I mean, that's,
green.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
I put too much into color sometimes, but
no, it makes sense.
But
though.
That I wouldn't at that age.
Trayola.
That's funny. at that age, and considering what he hasn't, he hasn't become.
What he hasn't become yet.
It's I mean, is, it, is there a better way to say that?
No, it's
I mean, he was the number one pick now, overall,
yeah.
Wasn't he? It
yeah.
was number one. It was him, well, Larry Johnson,
isn't
Smith, and
Kenny
Smith, Anderson, I think.
Isn't it funny how Smith and Ogden would have been the top two picks of that draft?
Oh, yeah. If you go back and redraft, that would be a pretty fun article doing redrafts.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, that's an idea for anyone out there that's interested, that wants to get some perks. If you want to put some time and effort into it, I mean, shit, I don't have any work for a while, so
you might
maybe I'll do it. I don't need points. I think I'm maxed out now.
I think
we can do it. You want to do that? We could go back and forth.
Yeah.
Like
I think
for evens and
I think you have it's going to be easy to look at where they're at right now, 4 years later, but.
Well, that's why it's going to be good.
But I
every
would
year,
say
like
that over that four-year span, you almost have to consider everything that they were for that 4 years. So Steve Smith may or may not be the top pick, but up until this year,
clearly
he wasn't.
And Steve Smith
I think Ogden would have probably been one if you look at the 4 years that this rookie contract. And that's the key. That's why we need to do this like that. You need to do the 91 draft over here towards the tail end of their rookie contract.
We can put their... Basically, they're accolades, you know, accolades up there, you know, and say, you know, like Larry Johnson's a good one there.
Yeah. He's probably
NBA champion, probably makes the All-Star game, what, three times now, and Rookie of the Year, and this and that. You know, there's a lot of.
He was good. He still is.
Well,
good.
He may still be one of the top
yeah,
four
he,
guys.
He could be
in
a top four pick in my
that
mind.
Draft. This is the key to that draft.
Yeah,
that draft went like this, with the exception of Ogden and Smith, who went up. Everybody else has tailed off.
Mike Isolino.
Was Mike Isolino on
drafted.
He was, yeah, Nick Malone did in the second round.
He's
he was the first
one?
Pick of the
yeah,
second round cut him.
You're not the only one that tried to sign.
No, I know. I know, I remember.
who?
Still what?
Is it Kenny Anderson was the fourth pick in that draft?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, Kenny Anderson,
yeah.
Jesus, yeah.
Kenny got killed.
I think.
Oh my God!
Yeah. So, is there any other things we want to talk about?
No, I mean that was pretty much it. I think. I mean, pretty much the trade deadline is in 5 hours, pretty much. So, if you got any deals out there that you're looking to make, make sure you get them in before the sim, because it's your last chance. I know there's some. I don't know what other teams out there are trying to make any big moves. I don't think we'll see any big splashy moves. You may see some more like the Kings have made with the little like the filling the holes. They're trying to get pieces to help them contend this year. And one more note on that, I know like a lot of people are saying like Nola may have given up a lot for Dikembe or may not have given up a lot for Dikembe, especially if you can't re-sign him. But I think the biggest move, the Danny Manning acquisition for the Blazers, I think pushed Nola to make that move because he saw that was a huge splashy move that could really pay off when you pair Manning next to Bradley in Portland. I mean, that's a 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah.
That's, you got your defensive guy and your offensive guy.
Yeah.
So it'll be the Pacific race for the 7th and 8th spots will be really, really, really fun to watch because they got a few teams there that are battling out. The Sonics are doing better than a lot of people.
I think the best race right now is going to be Central.
Central race is very heated because three games separate.
I think unless the Pistons or the Pacers put some space between them and the Raptors, once Barkley comes back, which is what a sim from now, two sims from
Monday.
Now?
But it's not even going to have that many games a sim. It's the All-Star break, so. He's going to have like 7 days that pass and there's
so
no games.
If at the end of the day,
he might be fully healthy.
Pistons, Pacers haven't put 5 or 6 games
right
between them and the Raptors. I think the Raptors still have a really good shot because the Raptors have already beaten.
Fuck the Raptors.
The Raptors have already beaten me 3 times. I don't know what they've done against the Pacers, so they probably own tiebreakers there, but. Okay. All right, I think we are wrapping up now. I gotta work call at 12, so. Yeah. Sign off, Scott.
Later.
Oh, is that it? Really? That's all I got.
Later, guys.
Bye, guys. Good luck. I'm gonna try to get this up in the next couple hours.
Hopefully, the Mavs have a nice injury coming up.
Oh, boo.
Classless.
All right. All right. Slow.
Slow out. Slow, big guys.